The Public News Service Daily Newscast, May 17th, 2021. I'm Lily Bolke. Fighting continued in Gaza this weekend, with Hamas firing rockets into Israel and Israeli airstrikes leveling buildings and killing dozens of people, including children. An Israeli airstrike on Saturday destroyed the building that housed the Associated Press and Al Jazeera, among other news outlets in Gaza City. Pro-Palestinian protesters have staged demonstrations across the globe, including London, Paris, and Washington, D.C. Utah officials are cutting back on jobless benefits, claiming without evidence that federal, quote, bonus payments are keeping thousands of Utahns from returning to work. Mark Richardson has more.
Critics of the move announced last week by Governor Spencer Cox say an early end to the $300 weekly pandemic stimulus and other related benefits will hurt thousands of recipients by slashing their income before they are ready or able to re-enter the workforce. Chase Thomas, executive director of the Alliance for a Better Utah, says the move will force many workers to re-enter an economy that is not fully recovered from the COVID-19 crisis.
With the pandemic, we've learned that there are a lot of deficiencies with our existing economic system, whether it's the low level of unemployment benefits or also just going back to a severely deficient minimum wage.
Cox calls the move a natural step toward returning the state to normal, but Thomas accuses him of simply copying a dozen other red state governors in ending the payments without proof that there is a labor shortage. Mark Richardson reporting.
As the nation recovers from the recession, a community college in Broward County, Florida, is taking a different approach to make workforce training available to all. Michaela Savitt explains.
Broward UP, which stands for Unlimited Potential, makes education accessible by meeting students where they are. This means holding free classes and workshops at satellite sites in 6 local zip codes that have the highest unemployment and lowest educational attainment rates. Mildred Coyne with Broward College Workforce Education and Innovation says they've made agreements with communities and agencies to use their facilities.
Now we've created an intergenerational model where children are seeing their parents in school while they're at their favorite Boys and Girls Club. And it's really just creating a continuous loop of understanding that education is for everyone and it's a never-ending generational loop.
Since 2018, more than 2,600 students have taken the free workshops. 95% are students of color, and most are over age 30. Almost 2,000 of them have gone on to pursue certifications in their career fields. I'm Michaela Savitt, reporting.
This is PNS. Black-led nonprofits in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, are working to help residents with food scarcity, internet access, and other issues exacerbated by the pandemic. More from Nadia Ramlagan.
Reverend Willard Bass is co-director of the Share Cooperative, an organization that runs a food co-op called Harvest Market. Bass says even before the pandemic, many residents in low-income neighborhoods lacked transportation to get to grocery stores in other parts of the city and didn't have access to farmers markets or other places to buy fresh produce.
We are seeing opportunities where folks wanted to buy food, but they were not being able to come out to get the food. And so we started an online buying platform on the www.harvestmarket.store.
He says demand for the online platform grew as the pandemic worsened and believes addressing food inequity is one component of anti-racism work. Winston-Salem has 21 neighborhoods considered food deserts and ranked 7th in the nation for the highest rate of food hardship in a 2018 Food Research and Action Report. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
A marijuana legalization bill in Minnesota faces an uncertain future despite winning House approval last week. Advocates see it as a way to help end racial disparities in criminal justice. Mike Moen reports.
The measure would legalize marijuana use for those 21 and older while expunging most minor criminal convictions related to the drug. Julia Decker with the ACLU of Minnesota says it wouldn't solve all the disparities within the system, but it's a break from the status quo.
Even if a major change will not do everything that we want it to do, you know, the status quo has not worked, is not working, and is doing harm.
Last year, the group issued a report showing that in Minnesota, black people are 5 times more likely than white people to be arrested for marijuana possession. The bill did get some GOP support in the DFL-led House, but the majority leader in the Republican-controlled Senate opposes legalization, citing unintended consequences, but hints he's open to sentencing reform. I'm Mike Moen.
A bill that would make it more difficult to obtain food assistance in Ohio faces an uncertain future. Mary Sherman explains.
More than 60 people have testified in opposition to Senate Bill 17, which would end procedures that streamline the application process for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. For example, Claire Geisigam at Hawking Athens Perry Community Action says SNAP recipients would be subject to extensive asset tests and required to report even small changes in their paycheck.
It costs so much money to implement. It takes so much administrative time. It's basically weaving an entire web of red tape that households have to navigate through just to get food.
The Ohio Legislative Service Commission found the system changes would cost more than $4.5 million to implement. Mary Sherman reporting.
This is Lily Bolke for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Heard on great radio stations and online at publicnewsservice.org.